Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You look amazing. What have you been doing?
You've heard of Ozempic, Wegovy, and other GLP-1 medications, right? Well, if you qualify, Zelthy providers can prescribe semaglutide, the same active ingredient, at up to 90% less without insurance. Done all online.
No wait at the doctor's office or pharmacy?
No wait. Zelthy can ship the same active ingredients as other expensive GLP-1s to your door.
Get started with Zelthy today for just $39. Call #250 and say keyword care. That's the same active ingredients in Wegovy or Ozempic, but for 80 to 90% less. That's #250 keyword care.
This is the Goalkeepers Union podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Goalkeepers Union podcast. Between the sticks, me, Matt Beadle, here with the sixth seasoning voice of goalkeeping, Richard Lee.
6 years old. 6 years old. Where has that gone, Matthew? I remember the days when we first set this up. We were in a lovely studio in South London. And now look at us. I'm holding an iPhone with a microphone in it. What went wrong?
Well, you could say production. I don't even know if production levels have decreased, but I'd like to think content and camaraderie and entertainment has certainly increased.
Sure, and friendship between you and me has increased.
I don't know about that. That's one step too far. But we are back, of course. We are back. Now, we should say that we did plan to be back during the summer. There were going to be a series of interim pods between the Euros we wanted to do to cover all the action from the European Championships in Germany. And we were going to tuck in with some GKs on their way intermittently as the summer went on. However, things just got a little bit busy, didn't they?
We have been busy. I'm sure that many people have seen the amount of movement in the goalkeeping market, which no doubt we'll talk about later in the show. But it has been crazy this summer. So many moves in the EFL, plenty still to happen in the Premier League, which has kept us very, very busy. That added to, obviously, you've had a few vacations, you know, days off, etc., etc. So, yeah, I suppose you couple all that together, it's been very difficult to get anything out. However, we are back. Obviously, we will be back now week to week. We will be doing a bit of a special, won't we, in regards to the GKs on the way at some point.
We will, yes, because as I said, we were going to do a series of them over the summer. But what we will now do is blitz through this particular Between the Sticks, all the opening, the key opening day action from the EFL. That will be the case for the next couple of weeks. And then once that transfer window is slammed shut on August the 30th, we will do a bumper GKs on their way with close to 100 goalkeeping moves, I think it is, that we will cover in that particular episode.
That will be quite the episode.
On with the show.
Let's do it.
Ah, yes, lovely. There is that music we have longed for, we have missed. It is the EFL overview, starting in the Championship, of course. And we will start with opening goals, Richard, all with their own opening story. We're going to start at Elland Road, a thriller of a contest between Leeds and Portsmouth. So the game ended 3-3. Pompey's opening goal in their first Championship outing since 2012 was scored by Elias Sorensen. It was a drilled effort, which appeared to go through Ian Melier. Did it go through the Frenchman, and should he have saved it? And the same goes for Angus Gunn, who conceded the opener in Oxford's first second-tier outing in 25 years. Mark Harris was the scorer. Decent approach play, have to give him that, but the finish lacked conviction and perhaps shouldn't have squirmed through. Or, might I add, is that why it squirmed through? And the final opening story is Lucas Jensen making his debut for Millwall in another high-scoring matchup as Watford left the Den 3-2 victors. But it was quite a tough day all round for Millwall, and arguably an even tougher day for Jensen stepping into the gloves left due to the tragic passing of Matias Sarkic. We will come on to that at the end of the show. But he conceded straight from a corner, just 22 minutes in.
Yeah, I think we'll start with Jensen because I felt really sorry for Jensen. Obviously, such an emotional day at Millwall. As you mentioned, we will talk about Mateusz Sarkic later on in the show. And obviously the day that was effectively, or the game that was effectively dedicated to him, Jensen coming in, new signing, wanting to impress, all the emotions that surround the game. You know, I was really, really hoping that he could have a solid game and come through. And obviously in the end, it was a tough outing for him. And it's one of those moments, that corner that's come in, obviously it's gone straight in. First thing I'll say is it is a really tough ball to deal with. You know, that ball that's whipped in under the crossbar, you know, they're not easy at the best of times. And you can see that he's obviously gone to make the punch, never really got himself in the right position, never really was able to fully commit to it. And effectively, it has just evaded his fist and gone straight in. So it's one that he will be really disappointed with. But I know we talk about it a lot in terms of there are often other situations that might surround a moment or surround a mistake. And I think in this case, yeah, as I say, I can imagine he must have been so nervous going into a game like this, and then to have that happen so early in the game, you know, a real tough afternoon. But I do hope that, you know, he bounces back. He was excellent for Lincoln last season, certainly back end of the season. Obviously, a lot of talk about him over the summer, got his move to Millwall. I'm sure that he will kick on from this, but it was, rather than sort of analysing the mistake too much, I think it was one for me that a day like this, I just hope it's one that he can put behind him and really kick on.
And the two, Melier and Gunn?
Yeah, so looking at both of these, I think with Angus Gunn, and it's one of them that I've certainly done this before when I've been in that position where you get drawn out to the ball. And I think it's just a slight positional situation where had he been that touch deeper, then of course it is a different shot that he faces and potentially does make the save. And I think in that, in a perfect situation, he may have just stayed back that yard or two, given himself that bit more space. There's other people around the ball. And of course, had that have happened and it had been the same shot, then he makes a save. Now, at the same time, it could have been a completely different strike and he might not have saved it regardless. But yeah, looking back and analysing that, just slightly in regards to position. And I think Ian Melier actually positionally was fine. You know, I think he got himself into, I did what I would suggest is the perfect position from where the shot was taken from. If you pause it at point of impact, he's in a very, very good position. The only thing I might question is the position of the hands. He's gone really, really low with the hands. And I just wonder whether that makes it that little bit tougher to then get your hands up, make the save, parry into a good area. If the hands were just ever so slightly higher, then that would have been an easier technique to do, in that there isn't as much movement needed from the hands in order to make the save. I think certainly when it comes to having the hands as low as that, that's often maybe when they're a step or two closer and they are within 4 or 5 yards of you, then, you know, certainly have the hands low and the chances are the ball's going to come in low. Whereas I think from that position, that'd be my only suggestion, was the hands being that little bit higher.
A quick word on Ainsley Pearce. So still in as things stand for Blackburn, and not only making a big save from a Nathaniel Mendes Lang corner, but readjusting to then keep out Tom Barkhuizen's follow-up in a lively, very exciting opener between Blackburn and Derby. Dan Backman with a superb spot of fortune, we'll say, in that aforementioned game between Millwall and Watford. There was a great moment here where George Honeyman's effort cannoned off the post. It then bounced back off Backman's head on its way back out. It then fell back to Honeyman, whose second effort evaded Backman, only to be cleared off the line and directed straight into the loving arms of the Hornets goalkeeper. Beautiful to see. And also beautiful was an exhibition in distribution in Middlesbrough's 1-0 win over Swansea. So Senny Dieng at one end, Lawrence Vigouroux making his debut for the Swans at the other. It was just a delight to watch throughout this game. There are games that we often comment on when Liverpool meet Man City and Edison faces Alisson. There's been games with Jason Steele in the past couple of seasons where distribution has just been on point, and here it was exactly the same. And Dieng very nearly setting off the first klaxon of the campaign with a pinpoint ball, which Isaiah Jones just failed to finish.
Yeah, this was a beautiful bit of distribution. Firstly, good collection on the cross, runs to the edge of the box, and it's that lovely sidewinder, perfect trajectory into his path. Lawrence Vigouroux decides to come out and engage, which in the end forces the attacker to take on the shot first time, and of course he can't finish it. But as you mentioned, and this was actually one of the games I did watch at the weekend, I thought both of them throughout, you know, in terms of bouncing off the six, clips of fullbacks, wingers, you know, I don't know what their percentages were in terms of how often they kept the ball, but it must have been really high for both of them, the amount of attacks that they both set off. And you mentioned a couple of other things there as well. Ainsley Pearce, this was a great save. This is one that Had it gone in, he'd have got stick. We know the script in that, you know, effectively it would have been that corner again, similar to what we mentioned with Jensen, a corner going straight in. But what a horrible ball this was to deal with, where it's whipping in to the near post. The guy at the front post, it's evaded him, and it's so low as well. It's not coming at head height. It's coming down sort of knee height, shin height. I don't really know how he's done it, how he's managed to scoop it off the line. Not only that, be aware enough to make the second save. For me, this is a great, great save. Not one that will necessarily get the credit it deserves because it looks a bit scrappy. And I go back to my point, if it is conceded, no doubt the commentators will be questioning the situation. But I thought this was a top, top save. And yeah, in regards to Backman, that was quite an entertaining passage of play. And you can see his excitement. Like, as soon as the ball ends up in his arms, big high fives all around. A huge win that for Watford, actually, because I know they've had a bit of a tough pre-season. But of course, to go to Millwall and win, a big day for Watford and a big day for Backman.
It was indeed. Just a couple more in the Championship to finish off. Freddie Woodman, close to a keeper caper, but just avoiding it thanks to a moment we will come on to shortly in League One. Gustavo Hamer, the beneficiary of a poor throw from the Preston man to put Sheffield United 2 up at Deepdale. And lastly, big one this, wanted to touch on this, Pandur playing out, I'm calling it. So that's Ivo Pandur of Hull, 24-year-old Croatian, signed from Verona in January. We haven't seen nor heard much from him since that signing. He was making his debut for the club. They have signed Anthony Racioppi, the Swiss goalkeeper from Young Boys as well. He was on the bench. Harvey Cartwright also in the building. But I thought this was worth bringing up purely because of the fact it was his first game. And the way that Hull play, as they did with Liam Rossini and seemingly with new boss Tim Walter as well, I just feel like it could have lent itself to an opening day debacle. And we saw this throughout the leagues over the weekend. Josh Griffiths and Jojo Wallacott, good examples at Bristol Rovers and Crawley, respectively. We'll come on to both of those. Now, thankfully, there was no major talking point here. It did end one apiece, although they did concede as a result of playing out, but not due to Pandor's error. There were, however, just a few moments, one as early as 20 seconds in on his debut, which, had they gone differently, you just wonder what that does to A, confidence, and B, the perception of a new goalkeeper coming in.
Yeah, I watched a lot of this footage, and I felt for Panda in that it wasn't necessarily, well, obviously it wasn't just him, it was just playing without purpose a lot of the time. You know, we've seen some really good examples of it, and as you say, you mentioned some of the bigger clubs that do it well, where they've got that first phase sorted, they've then got, it goes into the second phase, and they have ways in which they can break the lines, keep good possession, move up the field. This just felt like, at times, Panda would play it to the guy that's 3 yards away from him. He wouldn't know what to do. He'd play it back to Panda. Then it suddenly becomes a panic because they've got no out ball at that point. So it just seemed like a team that wasn't particularly well drilled. I didn't really have an idea as to how to go through the processes in order to build. And as you say, it did cost them a goal. The one that, yeah, played short, ended up sort of having a 3v2 in the corner, which they lost out on. And then the ball ends up in the far corner of the net. It's really frustrating to watch. I can imagine for fans where, look, you know, they understand that this is the way that football's going. And of course, if you can keep good possession of the ball, but there's so many good examples out there. In fact, watching Sheffield Wednesday at the weekend, and they were excellent, I thought, where you could see that each player knew at what point, if they were playing short, what the next ball was. They'd have their two or three options, and then again, two or three options, and they would move up the field with real purpose. With this, it just felt like they were doing it without really knowing exactly what they were doing. So, yeah, so not the dream debut for Panda, certainly. And at the same time, as I say, I don't really label a lot of that down to him. I think that'll again be, you know, where managers work on different patterns of play and different styles of play. But hopefully they do get it right moving forward, because, you know, they were fortunate that it was only the one goal they conceded on the day. To mention Freddie Woodman, and this was, yeah, a tough moment for him. And I watched this a few times, and I think he's just misthrown it. As simple as that. I don't think it's quite come out of the hand in the way that he intended. You could see who the target man was, but it's sort of almost come out of the side of his hand slightly. And it's every goalie's worst nightmare when the player takes a brilliant touch and it's an excellent finish. And of course, there's very little you can do. The moment it's left your hand and it hasn't come out quite in the way that you wanted it to, it is what it is at that point. And I did feel for him. And obviously hearing the manager went as well over the weekend. So it's an interesting time there. But no doubt, you know, Freddie Woodman was excellent next season. I'm sure that he'll bounce back very quickly.
Into League One, George Wickens, now very much a Lincoln goalkeeper, signed a 4-year deal in the summer from Fulham, starting with a win and a 97th minute save from Kegs Choke to preserve 3 points away at Burton. Dylan Phillips back in the groove for Rotherham. They were defeated at Exeter, but it could have been more than the 1-0 scoreline, wasn't it? Had Phillips not kept the Grecians at bay on six other occasions. A really good save low in that one. And Murphy Cooper stepping up to the third tier with Stevenage on loan from QPR and aptly blocking Tom Bloxham as Borough beat Shrewsbury.
Well, firstly, just to mention Murphy, because it is now officially Murphy Cooper. Of course, it was Murphy Mahoney last season, but he has now had his name officially changed. So, Murphy Cooper, I'm delighted for him. Great loan for him. Thought he was excellent on his debut. Stevenage were very dominant. That was probably the one key moment for him in the match, but executed it well. One-on-one, distances were good. Point of impact, gets himself to within a yard or two. Good spread, gets enough on the ball. Very, very good. And then, yeah, back into League One. Pleased for George Wickingson. It's been a tough time for him over the last few years. Obviously had the loan at Ross County last season, but now to find a new home and to be able to kick on. Good save with his feet in that one, close range header. It was an interesting one with Vicente Reyes, probably similar-ish to the one where I've just mentioned Freddie Woodman, where I think this was difficult was obviously long clearance, great touch, and then he's lobbed from quite a long way out. But you actually consider the amount of movement he'll have had to do in the space of 4 or 5 seconds. You know, he would have been 20, 25 yards out. Suddenly the ball's played long. You start to drop. The guy takes a great touch and lobs you. You know, you have to travel such a long way. And it's one of those horrible ones where you would never practice this in goalkeeping practice. You know, how do you actually manipulate your body in order to try and get the ball away from danger? And it's dipping below the crossbar. You can see he's tried to get something to it, to either put it round the post or put it over the bar, but in the end wasn't able to succeed in either. And again, you have to feel for him in that on his debut, it's only a matter of a few minutes in, and it's just one of those moments that you might face, you know, once a season, once a career, and very difficult to deal with. And Jojo Wallacott, I wanted to give a mention. I thought he showed some really good character in that it was a tough moment, obviously closed down, one of the ones we're going to see a lot this season. Closed down and the ball has ended up in the back of the net, but did make a good save thereafter to his right-hand side. Caught a really good cross under the crossbar at the very end. So I thought a mention for him in terms of the character shown. Again, a debut for a club, wanting to make a good impression. When a goal like that goes in, it can be quite difficult. But I thought that, you know, he bounced back very well from that moment. And in the end, they were able to secure the 3 points.
Good stuff, Richard. As it is the first episode of the new season, it's standard and natural that you will go rogue because it's time for one of these.
Bada boom, bada bing. It's only a keeper caper.
Indeed, it is a keeper caper. Crawley's Jojo Wallacott, which Richard has already spoken about, so we don't need to go into it. There we go. Start as we mean to go on. Brilliant. What we will do is refer back to Zach Hemming, starting with a defeat on his loan spell at Leyton Orient from Middlesbrough. Soft goals, probably, you'd say, conceded from Dion Charles and Victor Adeboyejo as Bolton ran out 2-1 victors. And that was thanks largely to fine second-half saves from Nathan Baxter, notably denying Charlie Kelman with an outstretched arm late on. Corey Adai, we'll give a mention to, another debutant for Stockport, facing a fellow first gamer in Vicente Reyes, as you said, on loan to Cambridge. But you've already spoken about that one too. So we'll move on to standard, basic and obvious rules, apparently not enforced at St Andrews, as Joel Pereira picked up a blatant and clear back pass in Reading's draw with Birmingham. I think that's us just about covered.
Yeah, sorry. Look, it's a bit of ring rust. It's been a while, Matt. It's been a while. It's going to take a little bit of time to get back into the groove. I mean, I've just got my notes here. I've gone through all the footage. I'm just rattling through my notes. I'm not actually listening to you teeing me up. So I do apologise for that. But yes, you have mentioned a couple of things there. And I definitely wanted to give a shout out to Nathan Baxter because I was watching this live as well. And yeah, look, it's a big save at the best of times. The one of the, I made a really good tip over actually before that. But this one in particular, you know, people talk a lot about big saves, and this was very much in that category. You know, this is one where you look back at the end of the season and talk about a goalkeeper winning you 3 points. It was very much in this moment. And when you actually sort of break down the moment itself where the ball's broke, it's probably only 12 yards out. It's being fired into the corner. But what I loved about this was I thought Nathan took up a really, really good position. You know, he's set, he's ready. It's so sharp down to his right-hand side, and the speed at which he gets down shows such power to get down. Big hand to take it round the post. And you could see in the moment when he gets up, he knew that was a big, big moment. And yeah, definitely wanted to give him a shout out. And yeah, that, the back pass, and again, I was keeping an eye on this at the time, and you could see the furore. Is that the word? Furore, not furore, furore. You could see the furore from the Birmingham bench because they really weren't happy about this. What Pereira does well, though, and I'll give him credit for this, is he's kind of made it look like, he's almost waited to make it look like a 50-50. So you could tell at first he knows this is a pass back. Do I just go and boot it into the stands? But he's just hesitated for a split second, and then he's come sliding out like, oh, I've got no choice. It's a 50-50, and collects the ball and then rolls it out really quickly so no one can question it. But yeah, it was definitely a pass back, and you can see why the opposition were as annoyed as they were.
And finishing in League Two, where we shall spare a thought for Owen Goodman, on loan at AFC Wimbledon, up against the club he was on loan at last season in Colchester. Funny how these things work out in football sometimes, isn't it? He concedes a goal inside 50 seconds, then he's 2-0 down inside 10 minutes, but he did enjoy a happy ending as the Dons bounced back to win 4-2. And we should spare another thought for Tom McGill. So prepping for his first ever senior men's league start at the age of 24 on loan at MK Dons from Brighton. And the first two efforts on goal he faces in his career end up in the back of the net. MK Dons 2 down just after 5 minutes. Some really nice distribution from Nick Townsend as Newport narrowly fell foul of an injury time winner from Cheltenham's Joel Colwill. And James Belshaw, done by his own defender in Harrogate's home defeat to newly promoted Bromley. So Toby Sims's soft back pass led Belshaw to collide with Michael Cheek, cure a massive gash around 10 stitches, I think, and clear fury at exiting the field of play. He was not happy.
Yeah, it's one of those tough moments where obviously the defender's just not quite got hold of the pass, and then credit to Belshaw, he's so brave in that moment to come out, and it's just one of those horrible ones. You can see it a mile off in that the attacker's going to go in fully, he's going to have to go in fully, and someone's going to come off worse for it, and unfortunately it was him. I'm in a weird way, I know it's not nice, and I did see a picture of the gash and it was horrific, but you know, it's one that, as you say, it will take a week or two to heal, and I'm sure that he'll be fine. It certainly could have been a bit worse. And you mentioned a few there, and there's been actually quite a lot now when we think of this podcast, the amount of debutants where, you know, and I obviously had a few debuts in my career, or in fact, yeah, two when I think about it, although technically I did play for Dunstable, but Brentford, obviously Watford. And it is, that first game you play for a club, it's a different feeling. Like, you do want to get off to a good start, make a good impression, and it's so frustrating where there are moments like that, like Tom McGill, where, and obviously seeing it pop up on the video printer within like 5-10 minutes or whatever, they're 2 down. And you're like, certainly when you haven't had much chance on the goals either, but you do just wonder if there's someone up there that isn't necessarily giving you the luck that you want or need or what have you. But all part of the challenge of a goalkeeper, Matthew. Clean Sheet Club. So a new season of Between the Sticks means, of course, a new season of Clean Sheet Club. And we start in the Championship. Adam Davies, sharp as a blade. Victor Johansson, new club, different day. Senny Dieng, Borough's boy. Anthony Patterson, black cat-like. Jamie Cumming, highest level of cleanliness. James Beadle, lone ranger. Into League One, Josh Griffiths following up a 2023 April Fool. Murphy Cooper, new name, new start. Corey Adai, one of 28 debutants. Lee Nichols, posh bosh. Joe Whitworth, welcome to the club. Will Mannion, addict. Into League 2. Paul Farman, PDA. Tommy Simpkin, welcome to the club, Mark 2. Connor Ripley, aggravating the Amis. Grant Smith, welcome to the club, Mark 3. Luke McGee, Tran man. Alex Bass, slapper da.
Well, it's like you've never been away, Richard. It's like you've never, ever been away.
Do you know what? I feel like as the episode has gone on, I hope a lot of people didn't tune out early on because, you know, definitely I think the rustiness is starting to go as we're getting a little bit more into it. Do you know what? Interestingly, I did have two goalkeepers message me. I won't name names, but two of those goalkeepers we've just named messaged me saying, I've made Clean Sheet Club this week. And technically, do you know what? Both of them and all of them are joint top right now.
Wow, there they are, top of the table. Impressive, impressive stuff. Well, that's good to hear. I'm glad that they're eagerly as excited for the new season of the Between the Sticks as we have been, of course. Now, you did mention there Corey Adai, one of 28 debutants. That's a lot of debutants, isn't it?
We had a feeling, I think we said, didn't we, towards the end of the season, that we could see how it was playing out. There was going to be a lot of movement. And again, I don't know exactly how it compares to last year before, but I'm sure that this has been the busiest goalkeeping window for quite some time. And I still think there's quite a lot to happen in the Premier League.
Okay, that's episode one of the 2024-25 campaign wrapped. A quick one, as we said, but plenty more to come over the course of the season. We're going to have more interviews too, perhaps a few specials thrown in as well. We will finish, though, with a word on Matty Sarkic, sadly taken from us at the age of just 26 in the summer. This really rocked the world of goalkeeping, the world of football, and, of course, most of all, his family. He was a great lad, Rich, that you knew personally. So I thought we'd end the show with a tribute to Mattia, your time with him, how you knew him, and, yeah, just the type of lad that he was.
Yeah, as you say, it does end it on a sad note, but certainly wanted to say a few words about him because he was one that I got to know personally, and I know a lot of the people that are really close to him, and you know just how much it's affected them, and no doubt will continue to affect them because, you know, you look at, I suppose you, it's just something you don't consider. You know, he's coming into the prime of his career. Obviously, he'd had a fantastic time at Birmingham, a good time at Stoke as well, and was really starting to do so well at Millwall as well as what he was doing with the national team, etc. And it was just such a surprise. You know, I can only speak from a personal point of view in that I dealt with him quite a lot over the last year or two, helping give it a bit of advice here and there. And he's just a really, really nice lad, like really driven, really tight with his dad, who played a big part in his career as well. And, you know, all I sort of know is the moment that, you know, I saw the news, because, of course, yeah, I'm sure like everyone, it suddenly started popping up on the phone and then everyone sort of mentioning it. And I was actually with Rob Elliott. We were just having a catch up, hadn't seen Rob for a little while. And the moment it came up, we just had to cut the meeting short. Like, it hit both of us so hard in that moment that it's that initial, this can't be true. And then, of course, you see it in different outlets and you're like, damn, what's happened here? Yeah, just horrible. And I'll be honest, it shook me up certainly for a few days. And as I say, I knew him to a decent level. But, you know, I know some of the people that were really close to him, the likes of Andy Marshall, how much Andy sort of put into Mattia and how close they were. He was away with him all summer, helping him work towards his games for the national team, went abroad to Turkey with him, you know, really, really tight friends with him. So as much as it hit me personally, I think it was just all the people that knew him, the amount of people that he had impacted. And again, it's just so unfair, you know, 26 years old, just coming into his prime, everything to live for, just one of those horrible, horrible moments. And even more so when it's so unusual, you know, in terms of how it happened. So again, it's obviously a bit past the time now, but, you know, we just want to send our best to his family, everybody close to him, because everyone that speaks about him has good things to say about him, and he'll certainly be remembered.
Bakayoko takes on his man, wins that battle. Great ball, Carrasco did get it on target. Mattia Sarkic holds on. All that experience, has he got out of trouble? No, giving it to Openda. Stabbed into the path of Carrasco, lovely move. And Sarkic with an outstanding save. He denies Carrasco for a third time. Meunier, industrious, De Bruyne, strong. Does work it back brilliantly. And Carrasco is kept out again. All Belgium. Openda early, De Bruyne even earlier. Sarkic, that is extraordinary. He's single-handedly keeping Belgium at bay. De Bruyne sees the pass, it's on. Openda! Sarkic there again. Once again. So the rescue for Montenegro is their goalkeeper. Mattia Sarkic.